A reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, down to chapter 4, verse 5. I'll be reading from the HCSB. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing those from whom you learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly charge you, proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not, rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, keep a clear head about everything. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. The word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you all this morning. Thank you, Brian, for reading our scripture. If you have a Bible, you can turn there to what you just heard, 2 Timothy 3. We'll be starting in verse 14. My name is Mike. I'm the associate pastor. Our lead pastor, Stenerick, is traveling, and so he'd love to meet you as well, so you'll just have to come back next Sunday if you're new. But I want to add my welcome to everyone as we turn to God's word. Magic mirror on the wall. What's the rest of it? Who's the fairest of them all? The queen asks her mirror in Snow White this question: who's the fairest of them all? And what's the answer she's expecting? Herself, right? Of course, queen, nobody's fairer than you, right? She's ready for that answer. But no, in fact, there is one fairer. And thus the plot of Snow White begins. The queen isn't happy. The evil mirror could have saved everyone a whole lot of trouble had he just lied to the queen. It's you, queen, okay? It's you, sure. But evil mirrors seem to have an honesty policy, evidently. But James tells us the scriptures are like a mirror. When we look at the word of God, like a mirror, it speaks truth. It reflects reality to us, whether we want to see it or not. Sometimes we may not like what the mirror reflects. A scripture guides us into spiritual growth, which is often hard transformation, painful heart change. But human nature, especially in our modern culture, is to decide what our own truth is. Meaning we pick and choose the things that we like and call that our truth without ever being bothered to grow. But in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul admonishes Timothy to resist that very temptation and press on as a faithful servant of God. We're continuing our series through Paul's letters to Timothy we've called Awakened Hearts. We've seen that Paul encourages us through these epistles to take heart in the gospel despite whatever hardships we may face. And in our text this morning, our charge is to continue on in our calling because of our secure foundation in the Word of God. And we'll see this in three movements: pursue Christ in the Word, proclaim Christ to the world, and persevere with Christ in the work. I apologize for that alliteration. I feel like I need to apologize. There needs to be a support group or something for pastors that alliterate too much. I just can't help it. So you'll forgive me, I hope. But let's pray as we turn to this passage. Our Father, we thank you for your word. As we have just sung together, we pray that you would speak to us from your word. This is why we are gathered, to worship you, to hear from you in your holy word. And so would you speak? We ask that your spirit would move in every heart, whatever our need is. We ask that you would meet it as only you can. We trust you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14, let's look there again. Paul says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Well, Paul's words to Timothy here have a weight to them. Paul sees his own death approaching soon, and so this letter reads like last words to his beloved son in the faith. And Paul's death really comes as no surprise, because Paul has previously said in the preceding verses that all those who live godly will suffer persecution. And so in light of this reality, Paul is reminding Timothy, there's persecution around you coming in from the world. There's attacks within the church from false teachers. So stay the course, Timothy. That's Paul's message to Timothy and to us. And he says, "But as for you," to contrast Timothy with those in the world and those false teachers in the church. In other words, no matter what anybody else around you is doing, Paul says, you continue on. Timothy had learned, he had firmly believed the gospel message. He calls Timothy to remember his teachers. Remember back in chapter 1, that included Timothy's mother and his grandmother who taught him the sacred scriptures from infancy, Paul says. And those scriptures, those very same words of God, are able to give wisdom, Paul says, for salvation through faith in Christ. So Paul calls Timothy and all believers back to our foundation in the scriptures, in the Word of God. Specifically here, because they point us to Christ. Christ is our foundation. The Holy Spirit uses the inspired Word of God in our hearts to draw us to Christ and to find salvation in Him by faith. Just reading this book to gain knowledge, even to gain wisdom, is not enough. It's not enough. We must dig into the Scriptures by faith, enabled by the Spirit, in order to know Christ better. So Paul's first charge to Timothy here and to us is to pursue Christ in the Word. We could capture Paul's words with just pursue the Word, right? Or be in the Scriptures. Or keep grounding yourself in Scripture. But I think Paul's emphasis here is more specific. That's why I'm calling out pursuing Christ in the Scripture. Because here the Word gives us the gospel truth we receive by faith, entering into relationship with the person, Jesus Christ. Think of Timothy's context. Unbelieving Jews had the same Hebrew Scriptures that Timothy did. The false teachers used at least some of Scripture, but twisted them to misrepresent Christ, the person and work of Christ. And it's the same today, isn't it? Plenty of cults use the Bible or parts of the Bible, but twist it until Christ is diminished. But as for you, Paul says, don't be led astray. Stay strong in the Word. Pursue Christ. Stay true to your foundation in Christ, revealed in the Scriptures. And verses 16 and 17 give us this well-known statement about Scripture, one of the most important statements in the Bible about the Bible. Paul says, all Scripture is inspired. Now, this word inspired needs a little attention, because this word is used differently in our modern context. We use inspired to say an artist was inspired to paint the sunset, right? Or I felt inspired when I heard that song, or I saw someone's example. I felt inspired. But the word Paul used here is literally God-breathed. God-breathed. That's what inspiration means here. The meaning the Bible's divine origin is in God Himself. The Apostle Peter tells us that the human writers of Scripture were carried along as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The whole counsel of God's Word comes from God Himself. Being God-breathed makes it a living book, and it carries the authority of God Himself. So if it's all inspired, Paul's saying, then it's all profitable. And that's really an understatement here, isn't it? If this whole book is from God, then it's all profitable for us. That's an understatement. Because Paul says it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training. Now, Scripture's useful and profitable for far more than just those things, but Paul's highlighting these here because they're key applications of Timothy's work as a pastor. Paul reminds Timothy that his teaching must be rooted in Scripture, or it's nothing more than his own opinion. Rebuke is uncomfortable, but it's necessary, isn't it? When there's false teaching, when there's sin. So Timothy had to be ready with the word to rebuke when necessary. Remember, Scripture, the mirror of Scripture, tells us the truth whether we like to see it or not. So faithful handling of God's word and true Christian love require rebuke. And correction is the positive side of that. We don't just rebuke people with Scripture. That can be too easily applied by aggressive people or arrogant people to just use this as an excuse to beat people over the head with Scripture. It's not what Paul's saying. Because it's rebuke and correction together. Rebuke with the goal of correction. The loving outcome is restoration and recovery. And finally, the Scripture is for our training in righteousness. Just as a faithful reading of Scripture guides us to Christ, the person, it affects Christ-likeness in us. See, those two go together, Christ and Christ-likeness. If we go through our Christian life gaining more and more head knowledge, right, we know more and more about God, but our actual thoughts, our actual behaviors aren't changing, then something is very wrong with our discipleship. When we pursue Christ in the Word, we will be transformed to be more like Him. Now, this transformation takes a lifetime. Of course, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but we should be moving forward. The Holy Spirit growing us. The Spirit using His Word to make us more and more like Jesus, who we see in the mirror alongside ourselves. Like a mirror that shows us not only ourselves as we are now, the Christ-like man or woman that we're called to be is also what we see in the mirror. And little by little, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin through the Word, and we see real heart change. The temporary things of this world that just used to consume us tend to lose some of their attraction. Instead of holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, we find ourselves able somehow to let go of past hurts and to forgive even as we've been forgiven. And dare I say it, we're a little less quick to lose our temper in traffic. I'm just going to throw that one out there. I think the Spirit's still working on us with that one. But that's the goal, right? None of us are perfect. See, the point is, pursuing Christ in the Word is relational and it's transforming. And I'll say it again, Christ and Christ-likeness go together. The man of God in verse 17, Paul's talking about Timothy, but the same applies to every man and every woman who follows Christ. In him, Paul says, you are complete. You are equipped for every good work, thanks to the Spirit that indwells you, if you know Christ. And so, believer, are you pursuing Christ in the Word? Not just are you checking the box and are you having your quiet time and reading your Bible, but are you approaching the Word of God as hearing from God Himself? Are you approaching Scripture to foster your relationship with Him? Are you finding yourself falling into the rut of being satisfied just with knowing more about Jesus? Or do you come to Scripture needing to know Him better? I hear from people sometimes that their time in Scripture is sort of growing stale and growing dull. I've been there myself. It's easy for us to get into a rut and think, okay, Ephesians, here we go again. I've read this, 1,000 times? So we need to return to pursuing Christ Himself in the Word. Now, I'm not talking about some ecstatic experience or an emotional high necessarily, though that's fine when it happens. Most of us have known Christ long enough, we don't need that. We shouldn't need that in order to meet with Him. If you're married, think of when you were first getting to know your spouse. That maybe there was an emotional high that you were riding, right? And that may come and go over the years, and that's great, but you don't need that for your whole life, right? To grow into a deeper love, a more mature love. It's the same in the spiritual life. Are we just looking for mountaintop experiences with God, or do we actually want to meet with God? A mature love, a mature commitment to God means we want to meet with Him regardless of what He does, regardless of how He shows up, regardless of feelings and circumstances, because we know the fullness of life is in His presence, so that's where we want to be, period. And so as we meet Christ in His Word, we begin to reflect Him more as the Spirit does His work in our hearts. So Paul's saying, pursue Christ in the Word, and secondly, proclaim Christ to the world. Look at chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. So Paul's already serious tone that he's had here has sort of kicked up another notch here, isn't it? His charge he gives him, he says, I solemnly charge you, Timothy. Pay attention. The root of this word solemn is the word, the Greek word we get martyr from. So Paul's not messing around here. This is all the urgency, this is all the care that Paul can muster in these closing words, this final chapter of this letter. As he knows this will be the last words to his son in the faith. This charge, he says, is before God and Christ Jesus, who, notice, Paul says, will judge the living and the dead. So before your judge, Timothy, pay attention. Now we could read this as Paul trying to scare Timothy, right? You're going to get judged for this, so wake up, pay attention. But as Paul's approaching his death, he has eternity in full view. He's not trying to scare Timothy. But Paul wants his own final days to be spent in light of this coming day. And he wants Timothy to live the same way. Timothy's got a while left to live. Most of us in this room have a while left to live. He wants us to have the same perspective of eternity. So Paul says, proclaim Christ, knowing that Christ could come today. He could return today. Paul crams 5 imperatives into this one verse, verse 2, like a military commander just rattling off imperatives, giving orders to a soldier. Preach, be ready, correct, rebuke, encourage. The word Paul just described in the previous verses, the word of God, the sacred and living word, this is what Timothy is called to proclaim. To be ready in and out of season means you see yourself as on duty all the time, taking every opportunity to serve that's put in front of you. Now, this charge has particular application to ministers in the church. Obviously, Timothy's a pastor. It's convicting to me when I see this text. I mean, I'm preaching right now, right? How am I applying this text? Am I preaching in light of the coming King or not? But this has a broad application to all of us. Whether you're called to vocational ministry or not, you are called to proclaim Christ with your life and with your words. That is our calling as believers. However we pay the bills, all Christians have this calling to make disciples. And we do that first by meeting Christ in the Word and then sharing His love with those around us. So are you and am I taking that calling seriously? Paul's not saying this again to scare us, but there is a place for a holy fear, a holy reverence before God. That's just a solemn view, a realistic view of reality, right? We're looking in the mirror. Christ could return any day. a right view, a serious, solemn view of reality that says, if Jesus could come back tomorrow, how am I serving him today? How can I proclaim him today? What spheres of influence has God put me uniquely in that I can be a light for Christ to others? Now, the last few imperatives of verse 2 parallel what we've seen already about the Word of God. They should sound familiar. Remember, the Word is profitable for rebuking and correcting. So Paul says, Timothy, now use it that way. It's profitable for that, so do that with it. But he says, he's careful to say, do that in an encouraging way. Do that in a patient way. See, this faithful proclamation is needed from all of God's people, not just ministers, because of what follows. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. So clearly, with what Paul has already said about false teachers in the first century, he sees this as already present in the church for him, right? For Timothy's present ministry. But he seems to suggest it's going to get worse. This is going to keep happening. Eugene Peterson paraphrases the verse this way in The Message. He says that you're going to find there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. Do we see that happening today? Paul says they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Literally, this means having their ears tickled. That's what the word means. Implying the truth kind of gets to their ears but goes no further. It never gets to their hearts. Because they've rejected the sure foundation of Scripture, they just pick and choose what they want to hear. Now, these words surely apply in any age, but it's hard for us not to look at our present moment in history and say, hey, Paul's talking about us. Paul's talking about right now. It's easier than ever for us to literally amass teachers for ourselves around just what we want to hear. Think about it. In Paul's day, you went to church where? The synagogue or the church in the city where you lived, right? There weren't a lot of choices where you went to church. You went to church, you went to church at the church that gathered in your community. Today, we have what, 1 million denominations? It seems like more every day. Beyond that, there's an endless number of podcasts that we can subscribe to from pastors and Bible teachers all over the world. There's the latest books by our favorite Christian authors. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Please don't hear me saying that. In one sense, it's an embarrassment of riches that we have today. It's God's blessing. Thanks to technology, we have access to all the Bible teaching we could ever imagine. But the danger with Paul's words in view here is it's so easy for us when we don't like what we're hearing to just change the channel, to just go to the church down the street, to just hit unsubscribe. Consumer Christianity is real, and it's a danger. And Paul is warning Timothy about that here, and he's warning us. So we need to be faithful, not only to proclaim the word, but also be faithful in how we receive the word. Being willing to take an honest look in the mirror and be challenged by what we see. Even when rebuke, even when correction are on the table, because that's part of our transformation. Change is hard, it's painful, but that's the goal of Christianity. That's the goal of discipleship, is Christ-likeness. So Paul charges us to pursue Christ in the Word, to preach the Word to the world, preach Christ to the world. And lastly, he calls us to persevere with Christ in the work. Look lastly at verse 5. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So picking up on what he just said about those who have turned away from sound teaching, again, he contrasts them with what he expects from Timothy. But as for you, Timothy, now he wraps this up with four more imperatives in verse 5 that emphasize the need for perseverance, for staying the course. Remember, Timothy's about to lose his mentor when Paul is martyred. Timothy's going to have to face many trials and hardships and persecution, and Paul says, stay the course no matter what happens. So first he says, exercise self-control in everything. NIV translates this, keep your head. Keep your head. It means be sober, be alert, have a presence of mind in all situations. Don't let your guard down. The same imperative is used in 1 Thessalonians 5 to say, stay awake and be watchful for Christ's return. See, we need to stay spiritually alert. As a pastor, Timothy had to stay alert and be ready for spiritual attacks, to stay dependent on God for strength. And again, this is for all of us. This is for all of us. Spiritual maturity requires readiness to do whatever God puts in front of us, ready to act when God disrupts our plans, as he so often does. When we let our guard down, when we slip into complacency, the enemy sees the opportunity and steps in. And so we must persevere in his strength. This endurance isn't needed for just spiritual attack, but for any kind of suffering. Paul says, endure hardship. Back in chapter 2, Paul said to share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. Not if suffering comes, but when it comes. Suffering is part of the human condition, and it's even uniquely part of the Christian life, as we're called to follow Christ in suffering. We don't like to hear that. We don't like when the mirror shows us the suffering servant, our Savior. But suffering is one of God's primary ways to grow us into Christ-likeness. And Paul says, do the work of an evangelist. This connects, of course, to proclaiming Christ to the world. Sometimes we think of evangelists as sort of a separate office in the church. And there are those that have the gift of evangelism. But all Christians are called to do the work of an evangelist. I'm assuming Timothy did not have the gift of an evangelist. He did not have the gift of evangelism, so Paul has to remind him, Timothy, don't forget, you may not have the gift, but you have the calling, as all Christians do, to share the gospel. Lastly, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. This is a catch-all, and it doesn't just mean vocational ministry. Don't get hung up on that. This means all the tasks of Christian service. As Jesus said in Luke 9, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Fulfill your ministry. Paul reminds Timothy and all of us that our calling as Christians is all-consuming. Jesus wants all of us. We want our lives to count for the kingdom, not to just skate by doing the bare minimum. The Christian life isn't passive. We're on call for Christ whenever he wants to use us. And this task is, of course, well beyond our strength. It's well beyond our ability. And so, this is why we must pursue Christ. We must proclaim Christ, and we persevere with the strength of Christ. How can we apply this passage to our lives this week? First, as we've said, are you pursuing Christ in the Word? Not just checking the box, not just reading your Bible to gain knowledge, but reading to know a person. Make that your prayer this week. Try a new way of approaching Scripture that maybe isn't part of your normal routine. Try praying through a passage of Scripture, slowly meditating on it, asking the Spirit to speak to you, to show you more of Christ. See, it's much more comfortable for us to consume Scripture than it is for us to be transformed by Scripture. We need to approach Scripture for Christ and Christ's likeness? And how are you proclaiming, how am I proclaiming Christ in our spheres of influence? For most of us, it's not preaching sermons. It's everyday conversations with coworkers, with neighbors, small acts of kindness, acts of charity that reflect the love of Christ. Ask God this week. That can be a dangerous prayer. Ask God this week to give you an opportunity to proclaim Christ. Maybe one that disrupts your plans, one that disrupts your day, that someone would cross your path that needs to hear about the love of Christ for them. May not be a full gospel presentation, but maybe just a seed that you're planting that God can use to grow. And finally, are you drawing on Christ's strength to persevere? All these commands that Paul gives Timothy and this charge to all of us is not possible without Christ working in us through the Spirit. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't hear this or anything in Scripture for that matter to say, do better, be more religious, right? Muster this up in your own strength. We don't draw near to God by our own religious devotion, but by entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Then, as a believer, Paul is saying, we stay the course, we stay alert, depending on the Spirit in us every day. If you're in a season of discouragement, or you find yourself in a season of complacency right now, would you share that with somebody this week? Would you share that with someone you trust? Ask them to pray for you. Paul gives us a picture not of vocational ministry here, but the Christian life. Disciples called to be disciple makers, knowing Jesus and making him known. That's the charge that Paul lays out here. So we come to the word not to be informed, but to be transformed. Just like the evil queen in Snow White did not like what she saw in the mirror, did not like what the mirror had to say to her, it pointed her to the fair one, Snow White, right? When we come to the Word of God, we see ourselves, and we don't always like what we see. But Scripture, this mirror of Scripture, ultimately points us to the true fair one, Jesus Christ. Christ himself. We're invited into Christ's likeness. As James puts it in his epistle, but be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works. This person will be blessed in what he does. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we desire to be the kind of disciple that James speaks of here, the kind of disciple that Paul charged Timothy to be. Help us, Father, not to be satisfied with just knowing more about you, but help us draw near to you. Help us dig into your word to know you more. And help us not to be satisfied with where we are now in our Christian life. As hard as it might be to be challenged, to be rebuked, to be corrected by the word, we ask that you would open our hearts by your Spirit, that you would transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. As we pursue Christ, and the Spirit moves us into Christ's likeness. It's in his name and for his sake we pray. Amen.